Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY26 results conference call of Manekshaw Coated Metals and Industries Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen mode only, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Samiksha from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Manekshaw Coated Metals and Industries Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Karan Agarwal, Full-Time Director, Mr. Mahendra Bang, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Tushar Agarwal, Senior Vice President. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Karan Agarwal. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to connect with you and share the progress we've made at Manekshaw Coated Metals and Industries Limited during the first half of fiscal 26. The period has been marked by strong momentum, disciplined execution, and clear strategic focus. On behalf of the management, I extend a warm welcome to our Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. I'm joined by Mr. Mahendra Bang, our CFO, and Mr. Tushar Agarwal, Senior Vice President. We sincerely appreciate your time, engagement, and continued confidence in our journey of growth and value creation. The first half of FY26 has been an encouraging phase for us at Manekshaw Coated Metals and Industries, as we continue to strengthen our presence in the value-added coated steel segment with consistent performance and expanding capabilities. Our portfolio spans a wide range of pre-painted and galvanized steel products designed to meet evolving market needs. Our advanced manufacturing facility in Kutch, Gujarat, serves as a strategic hub connecting us seamlessly to both domestic and international markets. With exports to over 40 countries and a growing diversified customer base, we are expanding our capacity and systems to better serve customers across core end-use sectors, guided by our focus on quality, innovation, and operational excellence. Q2 of fiscal 26 was another strong quarter for us. Our consolidated total income grew by 27% year-on-year to rupees 224 crore, driven by strong demand and improved realizations. EBITDA more than doubled to rupees 29 crore, reflecting a 113% growth, while EBITDA margin expanded by 534 basis points to 13%, highlighting improved operational efficiency and product mix. Net profit surged by 491% to rupees 14 crore, translating into a net margin of 6%, which is up by 490 basis points year-on-year. Earnings per share also increased significantly by 347% year-on-year to rupees 1.43. For the H1 of fiscal 26, total income rose by 28% year-on-year to rupees 478 crore, while EBITDA increased 103% to rupees 58 crore, with a margin expansion of 446 basis points to 12%. Net profit grew by 423% year-on-year to rupees 28 crore, translating into a net margin of 6%, and EPS stood at rupees 2.81, which is up by 290% year-on-year. This underscores strong and broad-based financial performance across operations. In addition to strong financial performance, our balance sheet has further strengthened during the first half of financial year 26. The interest coverage ratio improved to 3.62 as compared to 1.89 as on 31st March 2025, reflecting higher profitability and lower finance costs. The current ratio increased to 1.67 from 1.35, supported by efficient working capital management. The debt equity ratio improved to 1.19, down from 1.81 at the end of FY25, driven by repayment and strong cash generation. Total debt declined by 27% from rupees 141.28 crore down to rupees 103.22 crore as of 30th September 25. Operationally, second quarter of fiscal 26 turned out to be an exceptional quarter, driven by consistent execution, healthy demand, and record contributions from exports. Galvanized steel production grew by 8% year-on-year to 26,572 metric tons, while pre-painted steel output increased by 18% to 21,653 metric tons, supported by efficient plant utilization. The share of value-added product, which is pre-painted steel, touched 92% of total sales, reflecting our focus on high margin and quality-driven segments. Exports remained a key growth driver, contributing 85% of total sales, with export revenue up by 151% year-on-year and export tonnage at a record of 20,590 metric tons. This performance showcases our strong operational foundation, agile execution, and growing global acceptance of products made at Manaxia Coated Metals. On the capital front, the company raised a total of 174.87 crore through two preferential allotments. The first one of rupees 40.32 crore at rupees 18 per share, and the second one of rupees 134.55 crore at rupees 65 per share. During first half of fiscal 26, we collected rupees 80.36 crore, including 74.60 crore in Q1 and 5.76 crore in Q2, with a balance of rupees 13.65 crore pending for conversion. This equity infusion has further strengthened our balance sheet, reduced debt, and enhanced financial flexibility to support ongoing expansion of projects. The Indian steel industry is entering a high growth phase, supported by government initiatives such as the National Steel Policy, PM Gati Shakti, and the National Manufacturing Mission, aimed at boosting capacity, efficiency, and competitiveness. India targets producing 300 million tons of steel by the year 2030 and 500 million tons by the year 2047, alongside higher exports and per capita consumption. The focus on value-added and green steel manufacturing under the PLI and Make in India schemes is driving investment and long-term demand. These developments create a strong tailwind for Manaxia Coated Metals, aligning perfectly with our expertise in value-added coated steel products and expanding export presence. Looking ahead, we are entering an exciting phase of growth with multiple strategic projects progressing as planned. The aluminium zinc coating line conversion scheduled for current fiscal 25, which we believe will enhance capacity by 36% up to 180,000 tons per annum and position us among the few players in India with 100% aluminium zinc capability. The second color coating line, expected to commission by early financial year 27, will expand coating capacity by 174% to 236,000 tons per annum, strengthening our value-added portfolio and customer reach. The 7 megawatt peak captive solar power plant targeted for early FY27 will offset 50 to 55% of grid power dependency and lead to significant energy cost savings while advancing our sustainability goals. In parallel, the implementation of an MES system and CRM systems will drive digital transformation, enabling real-time production visibility, data-driven decisions, and stronger customer engagement. Collectively, these initiatives will strengthen our scale, efficiency, and customer-centric growth, positioning Manaxia Coated Metals and Industries for the next phase of sustainable value creation and growth. Before I conclude, I would like to take this opportunity to thank our employees, customers, investors, and partners for their continued trust and support. The first half of fiscal 26 has been a period of strong growth and meaningful progress for us, and we remain confident about sustaining this momentum through disciplined execution and strategic investments. Thank you once again for joining us today and for your continued confidence in Manaxia Coated Metals and Industries Limited. We will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sukrit Patil from Eyesight FinTrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the team. My question is, as metal prices and demand cycles keep changing, what long-term strategy do you see? Mayur? As metal prices and demand cycles keep changing, what long-term strategy do you see helping Manaxia build a strong identity beyond just being part of the commodity cycle?
Okay. Thank you for your question. Is that all?
No, I have a follow-up question, but once this gets completed, I'll ask my second question.
Right. So I think it's a very valid question, Sukrit. We are a player in the steel industry, and we do have a direct correlation to metal prices and the volatility of the commodity. I would like to share that we are in potentially the highest value-added segment of flat steel products by having the ability to produce pre-painted steel, which is the highest value creation that you can do on flat carbon steel. And our business model is largely a back-to-back model where we are not having an exposure to the commodity price risk since more than 80% of our business is back-to-back. And spot changes in the market of commodity does not impact our inventory or our business model. So our strong focus on exports and OEM business has led to this situation, and we would like to continue this focus and strategy to be a dominant player and a strong player in the OEM segment and the export segment, which really creates a strong identity and value for our company, for our product, and for our customers.
Okay. My second question is, looking ahead, what internal steps or cost management plan do you think are most important to protect the margin, especially if input cost or demand patterns keep on changing?
We have our own cost structure, which we are trying to, make it more and more efficient every quarter by enhancing our capacity utilization, by improving focus of, the company towards higher value-added products, and improving the focus towards export. So naturally, with higher capacity utilization, the fixed cost per ton uses and our upcoming investments for capacity addition in the alloying production and the second line will also
add to interrupt you, but there is some disturbance on your line. Hello?
I will just mute it.
Yeah, as I was saying, the capacity additions that we are doing on the alloying front as well as the second pre-painted line will also lead to further reduction in the fixed cost per ton, thereby ensuring that our EBITDA margins are protected and potentially enhanced. Moreover, I think as we are shifting from a product of galvanized steel towards a more value-added product of alloying steel, the potential cost savings on raw material also come into play, which have the further potential to contribute towards cost efficiencies and enhancement in margins.
Thank you for the guidance, and I wish the team best of luck for Q3.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon, the team, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I have only one question regarding your capacity utilization side. So you have mentioned in the quarter one call that CapEx of 150 crore is ongoing with 50 crore already incurred. So like I want to understand, like, can you share the timeline for commissioning of the new expanded lines, the expected increase in tonnage, and when we might see them contributing meaningfully to the volumes? And continuing with that question, my second question is regarding the product side. So on product diversification, could you elaborate on any higher margin value-added coated products you are targeting, for instance, specialty coating or niche domestic segments? So this is my question. Could you just explain regarding this thing?
Yeah, thank you, Rehan. Your first question regarding our CAPEX projects and the resultant revenue increases. Well, as I mentioned on my opening remarks, the three critical projects that we have embarked upon, where the CAPEX has been done, is basically the first one is the alloying project, which is scheduled to start revenue generation within the current fiscal of FY26, followed by the other two projects, which are the second pre-painted line, the second color coating line, which is expected to start generating revenue in early fiscal 27. And the third is the captive solar power plant, which will start giving its output in terms of energy cost savings, which is also expected from early fiscal 27. So this timeline is something that we had shared even previously, and I don't have any reasons to believe that there is any shift in such timelines. The second question pertaining to value-added products for or different value-added end uses and higher margins, I think this is exactly the direction that the company is thinking. And the transition from galvanized steel towards alloying steel is exactly the step for us to move in that direction, where the coating of an alloy of 55% aluminum, 43.5% zinc, and 1.5% silicon will replace the traditional galvanizing process and lead to a much higher value-added product catering to a niche and demanding customers who need a much higher performance, corrosion resistance from the product to meet their end users. This will also lead to potentially cost savings and better price realizations by the company, which should result in better performance and higher margins for the company going forward. This is the exact direction that we're thinking in, and I think the enhancement in margins also can be driven by our continued focus to cater to the export market, which we have been doing, and the you know, the numbers that I shared with you on the export front is also visible in our presentation, speaks for itself in terms of our higher performance in the export market.
Got it. And thank you for the explanation for our industry. And good luck for your coming part. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions. One is that why have our galvanized steel coil sales been very low this quarter and even in the previous quarter?
Sure. Well, this is an intentional, let's say, end result, because we are producing two finished products. One is a first stage product, which is galvanized steel, and the other is a second stage of value addition, with the final product being pre-painted steel. Naturally, the value addition of pre-painted steel is the higher category of value addition, and which also contributes to a higher EBITDA margin contribution per ton. And hence, in fact, it's a statistic that we are quite proud of, that we have been able to reduce the contribution of revenue via galvanized steel and enhance the contribution of revenue via the sale of a bigger volume of pre-painted steel, which talks about our ability to sell more and more value-added product and focus more on higher value-added product. So this is an absolutely intentional end result.
Understood, sir. And earlier in your presentation, you had written that once we completely move to an aluminum zinc coating, then we could, you know, for the same capacity, we could see EBITDA increasing by 40%. But this time around in the presentation, that number is not mentioned. So has there been any change with the, on that number due to market conditions or any other reason?
Firstly, the statistic given in the presentation of the higher EBITDA margins, that is something that we are basically, you know, demonstrating in the sense of a market potential of what an aluminum zinc coating can potentially do to companies' product profile and margin profile. We don't see any reason for this to change. And, you know, the technical aspect of aluminium being cheaper than zinc still remains as it is, where aluminium as a metal has always been cheaper than zinc and continues to be so, which would definitely, you know, technically and theoretically result in a lower raw material cost as compared to a production cost of galvanized steel.
Okay. And sir, with regards to fundraising plan, what would be roughly be the quantum of fundraise and you know, utilization of the same into different areas, if you can spell out the same? Because I think we just in the first half itself we had received the money for the warrants issued earlier. So in that respect, what is the quantum and what are the utilization areas that we spend, where we are spending on?
I think the most recent fundraise that was completed by the company was a total of 134.55 crores. It was a preferential allotment of warrants out of which roughly 120 crores has been realized by the company. And the end users for this previous fundraise was basically on the aspects of debt reduction, higher working capital requirement, and for CAPEX projects of AluZinc and the second color coating line. And this has been the deployment of these proceeds.
And for the upcoming fundraise?
The company is continuously evaluating ways and means of raising funds for the expansion plans, and it continues to keep a pulse of the capital markets and to evaluate the available options for future fundraisers to meet its needs for its growth ambitions.
So that has not been finalized, the quantum?
No, not yet.
And what probable area we could utilize this for, so whenever it happens, say in the next few months?
So, as per the company's growth blueprint that we have already shared in our presentation, we definitely wish to grow horizontally in terms of our capacity expansion in the AluZinc coating capacity from 180,000 ton towards 360,000 ton. And also we wish to work on backward integrating our business by setting up cold rolling complex to make it a more integrated value chain. And I think these will be the projects that the company would work towards, and the fundraisers would be, the large end use of the fundraise would be directed towards.
Oh, and so final question on your major geographies for exports, which would be those?
I would like to say that, see, we have a customer base spread across 43 countries, which are ranging from the European continent, consisting of the Southern European belt, like Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece, and the Eastern European belt, consisting of Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, and the Central European belt, consisting of Germany, Netherlands. Apart from this, we also have active customers in Latin America and the countries of Colombia, Ecuador, Brazil, and some customers in the Middle East. Having said this, we do have a dominant share of export moving towards the European continent.
Oh, thank you, sir.
A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. The next question is from the line of Ankur from Bajaj Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Sir, in the previous calls also, you had mentioned that by 2027, your total capacity expansion will be at a full fledged, and the entire capacity utilization also will be done by that time. So what's the new plan again? I mean, to fundraise in such a big way, and all the other blueprints, as you mentioned earlier also, but we need some kind of in-depth understanding of that. Thank you.
Ankurji, thank you for your question. As far as the current plans of expansion are concerned, which are basically divided into three phases, phase 1, 2 and 3. Phase 1 and 2, which consist of the AluZinc line upgrade, the second pre-painted line and the captive solar power plant. All these projects are in line with our estimates of commissioning and the capacity ramp up. where I just mentioned earlier that the Alusing project will be commissioned within the existing fiscal 26, and the second pre-painted steel line and the solar power plant will be commissioned in early fiscal 27. And we don't see any deviation in these timelines that we are stating.
Right.
And we are also fairly confident that with the strong order books from the export market and the domestic market and the growing customer base that we have in the OEM segment, the capacity utilization also should be very healthy and should be ramped up fairly quickly. Beyond this, there is a phase 3 expansion which is in blueprint stage for further addition of a second Alusing line and a backward integration project of a cold rolling steel complex, which we foresee happening in FY28, for which I do not have any firm timelines to share with you, but this is what we are working on currently.
Okay, so for 2028, you are right now planning to raise the funds.
We are evaluating all possible opportunities.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So two questions are there. One on the capacity expansion, which you said there will be conversion of the existing capacity to Alusing. So, and that will increase your capacity as well. So the whole capacity will get converted or part of the capacity will get converted? And in that case, whether the Alusing standalone will be sold in the market in meantime when the other capacity of coated comes. So how that will work and how is the realization for Alusing as compared to the normal galvanized steel?
Thank you, Sunilji, for your question. And I think you have gone through our presentation quite well to be asking intricate questions, which I appreciate. So yes, you're right. The capacity expansion and the upgrade to Alusing is happening for the entire capacity. So 1,32,000 tons is being upgraded to 1,80,000 tons, and the entire 1,80,000 ton will become Alusing. So basically, we will be shifting from galvanized steel maker to a Alusing steel maker. And your second question was, will we be selling standalone product of unpainted Alusing before our second pre-painted or color coating line starts? The answer is yes. We will be having a surplus Alusing capacity before our second color coating line starts, which would be for a period of potentially 4 to 6 months. And in this period, we will definitely be selling standalone Alusing product, for which, by the way, there is a very large market in the domestic and export ecosystem, where unpainted Alusing is sold to the infrastructure projects like factory buildings, sheds, warehouses, cold storages, airport buildings, hangars, railway stations, metro stations, etc. And it forms a large percentage of the roofing and cladding end uses which are done by projects. We intend to tap this sector and sell in the market for similar kind of end users.
And is there any difference in the realization of galvanized and Alusing?
Yes, absolutely. Alusing sells at a premium to galvanized steel in the market. And the reasons are because it is a superior product in terms of corrosion resistance, performance in terms of life, as well as aesthetically, it's a superior product as compared to galvanized, and hence it does sell at a premium.
And second question related to the performance, financial performance. If I see your gross margin in the last 1 year has moved up by almost 100 basis point. From 20% to almost around 31%. Any specific reason? We don't see any great change in the product mix. So what was the reason for this improvement in the margin?
Well, there are multiple reasons which have contributed to enhancement of our overall margins. I can name a few of them. One of them is obviously higher capacity utilization. We have been ramping up capacity utilization, which has led to a lower fixed cost per ton and better ability to amortize all our costs over a larger tonnage, number one. Number two, we have gradually shifted our focus from more commoditized segment end uses to more niche and customized end uses and customer segments, such as HVAC, refrigeration, home appliances, clean rooms, bus bodies, and so on and so forth, which are having a better realization in terms of price and better margin profile. Thirdly, our focus and growth in exports are also one of the key contributors to this margin growth. If you go through our presentation, you'll realize that our percentage of exports has drastically gotten enhanced as compared to what we did in FY24 and what we did in FY25, which is also one of the key reasons for this growth.
And sir, last question about the export market. So how you sell? Means you sell it through distributors or to the end consumer? How you sell in the export market?
We are largely selling our product to end users in the export markets, who are OEMs. And the percentage of sale to traders or distributors is very, very negligible.
So in that case, the number of customers in the export market, if you can say how many customers are there and what is the product sale, means each billing size, like it's a large billing size to few customers or there is a large distribution of the end customers?
We have a good fair bit of diversity in terms of our customer base, spread across number of customers and number of countries and number of regions. So to give you an indicative number, I can say that we would have roughly anywhere between 40 to 50 active export customers throughout the year, to which we would have sold our entire export tonnage in the last fiscal. And a similar picture would be also drawn for the current fiscal as well. And in terms of concentration, I don't think more than 10% of our export sales are to restricted to a single customer.
Great, sir. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Jain from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir, I wanted to understand the blended realizations for galvanized and pre-painted this year compared to what we had in FY25. So can you just give some understanding on this?
The realization for galvanized and the realization of pre-painted per ton, I think I would have this number handy. Just give me a moment, please.
Yes.
Yes. The sale price, the sale price realization for galvanized steel in the quarter two. You're asking for the quarter or what is your question, please?
Yeah, so you can give about the quarter as well, and you can give about the H1, what it has been versus what it has been by 25.
Mm-hmm. So for the quarter, second quarter, our sales price realization per ton for galvanized steel was 71,671 rupees per ton. And the sales price realization per ton for pre-painted steel for Q2 was rupees 89,495 per ton. And for H1, this number was 71,572 rupees per ton for galvanized and 88,539 per ton for pre-painted steel. And this compared to H1 of last fiscal was considerably higher, where I think, let's say, on a percentage basis, this is higher by about 7% year-on-year. And for pre-painted steel, the on percentage basis, it would be higher by about 12% year-on-year.
Okay, sir. And my another question is, when we have our capacity increase of galvanized steel, using from 132 to 180, and pre-painted, when we have it next year from 86,000 to 236,000, so what is the potential maximum revenue possible from this entire capacity that we have, considering our the capacity utilization at as 75% or 80%, if we are closer to that?
Well, I think the sales price realization numbers that you have with you, which has been shared with you, can be considered as, you know, consistent sale price realization that we are achieving in the market. And if you were to extrapolate that with the capacity increase and the utilization levels, you will be easily be able to get the answer to your question.
Right. And do we see this realization increasing going forward, or is it going to be stable right now?
Let's say that, you know, the market for steel prices do keep moving, and I cannot predict whether it will move higher or lower. But I definitely feel that I don't foresee much of a sharp increase or decrease in the prices going forward. It could, in my view, it could be consistent as what we have seen in Q2.
Right. And my last question is, sir, this exports that we have at 92% of sales, right, 85% of sales right now, is this the same thing that's going to be continued going forward?
The export revenue that we achieved in Q2 is definitely at an all-time high. However, if you see the graph of the export contribution to our total revenue over the years has been consistently increasing from levels of 25%, then 35%, then I think in Q1 it was 57%, and Q2 it was 85%. So it's safe to assume that, yes, we will keep continuing to grow the overall export revenue percentage to the total revenue consistently. However, 85% is definitely something which is, let's say, a unique situation where we had a very, very strong export order book. It's safe to assume that exports would be definitely, you know, upwards of 50% for the current fiscal.
Great. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants are requested to restrict yourself to two questions. The next question is from the line of Mayank Agarwal from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, to my understanding, the percentage of the galvanized steel which you use internally is around 75% to 80% to make PPGI, correct?
It depends on what is the total total production of galvanized steel and the order book that we have for the pre-painted steel. But to answer your question, in Q1 and Q2, roughly about anywhere between 80% to 90% in that range was used for making pre-painted steel.
Okay. So my second question is a follow-up question. So basically in a galvanized steel, like we are expanding our capacity from 132,000 to 180,000, and in the pre-painted we are increasing from 86,000 to 36,000 and eventually to 360,000. So my question is since the galvanized steel, the future capacity we have capped it around 180,000, so how will the gap between this and the pre-painted will be met?
So yes, there will come a time where we will have our aluminium capacity of 180,000 tons and pre-painted capacity of 236,000 tons. And there will be a gap of roughly, say, 50,000 tons approximate between the two. But one has to assume that there would be a percentage of capacity utilization that we'll be running at for the pre-painted steel. And the surplus capacity that we have for color coating can be potentially utilized by buying galvanized substrate from the market and performing color coating to produce pre-painted steel. However, we would indulge in any such kind of utilization only if we find it profitable enough to maintain our EBITDA per ton numbers.
Okay. And my next question is on order book. So last quarter, the order book was 450 crore and which now stands around 600 crore now. So how much did we execute this quarter and how much was the new order addition in this and the Q2?
The execution of order book in the quarter is reflected by the revenue that we have generated, right? So, I mean, we generated 220 crores of revenue, which was against the order book in hand. So I think that answers your question on what is the percentage of order book execution. And the incremental order book that you're seeing is a result of, the new export orders and the new MOUs that we have signed with customers overseas, as well as new orders from domestic markets, which is now standing at roughly 600 crore rupees.
Okay. And what is the average expected timeline to execute the order?
The existing order book currently is having a timeline of 12 months for execution.
Okay, great. And the last question is on my aluminium-linked raw material procurement. So basically 70% is backed by the confirmed orders, and 30% is on the basis of spot and fortnightly price revision. So how does the aluminium price movement translate into margin impact for us?
The business model is back-to-back anywhere ranging from 75% to 80% of the total volumes that we produce. And the remaining 20-25% is definitely earmarked for the spot orders that we execute for the domestic customers. The changes in the price of raw material, including steel or zinc or aluminium, would be reflected in the market almost immediately from, let's say, every 15 days, every fortnight, like you said. So we are able to either, pass on the price increase or decrease to the customers for the spot market, quantum that we are executing almost every 15 days. So that is the frequency that we are able to pass on.
Okay. That has answered all my questions. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Sameeksha. Thank you for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Manakshya Coated Metals and Industries Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference call. Thank you, Karan sir, Tushar sir, and Mahendra sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.